In highly litigious societies, especially the USA and to some degree in Australia, when there is medical malpractice, often the patient's trigger response is to call a lawyer and to sue. But is this response always in the best interests of the patient? Jennifer Moore is a senior lecturer at UNSW. She specialises in public health law. She's looked at the growing use of communication and resolution programs, or CRPs, in American hospitals. These programs seek to avoid costly and stressful malpractice suits.
Normally, the traditional approach is to really hope that patients will go away and to do what's commonly referred to as deny and defend. And what CRPs try to do is the exact opposite of that. So in CRPs, hospitals and liability insurers will actually proactively reach out to the injured patient and the family to try and resolve the matter without litigation. So an explanation of what happened will be offered. They will also sometimes offer an apology, and in some cases they'll also offer compensation. And the idea is to promote reconciliation rather than getting adversarial as we would do during litigation.
CRPs, these communication and resolution programs, they're quite big in American hospitals. And you've actually spoken to a number of people engaged in this process. Who did you speak to and what did you find?
So what we did was we reached out to three hospitals in the US, Stanford Medical Center, Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center, which is one of the Harvard hospitals, and Bay State, which is another hospital in Massachusetts. We ended up talking to 27 patients and three family members, and we also talked to 10 staff who are involved in these CRP programs.
Now, I should point out, your study has just been published in the Journal of American Medical Association Internal Medicine, that's known as JAMA. What did you conclude, or what did people tell you about these CRPs? Do they work?
I think the short answer to that is yes, and they're definitely much better than traditional medical malpractice litigation.
Why?
Oh, so we already know from existing research that medical malpractice litigation is miserable, as we say in the paper, for both hospitals and also for patients. So the best way to explain this is to imagine that you have been really severely harmed, you're feeling really ill, you haven't recovered yet, and then you are facing the prospect of going through this really lengthy and stressful adversarial process, litigation, which at the end you're not guaranteed of getting anything. In fact, you may be out of pocket. So all in all, it's not particularly successful for the patients or for the doctors. And you can imagine the doctors and the nurses in the hospital also find this really stressful. They have to put lots of resources into the litigation when really they should be caring for their patients.
This process was used in lieu of the litigation. Were people satisfied in the cases that you looked at or spoke to people about?
So 18 of the 30 patients and family members who participated were overall satisfied. And it depends where you sit as to whether you think that is a good number. My opinion is that it is good if we're comparing it to medical malpractice litigation, where the numbers are usually zero. Money by itself is very rarely sufficient to resolve these sorts of issues. What patients really want is to be heard. They want someone to listen to their experiences. They want the opportunity to speak to the clinicians who were involved in their care. They want someone to explain what happened and to apologise. And they want some patient safety efforts undertaken. So they want no other family to have to go through this again. Now, that was a long list. And how many on that list do you think get fulfilled and ticked off when you go through litigation? Not very many.
Is it a trade-off, though? Do you get less money and get those other things instead? And maybe for some people, the money's more important than those other things?
Possibly for some people, some of the more severe injuries, but that's not, to be honest, what we found. I can give you an example, actually, of a patient who said to me, look, the hospital gave me this money, but I felt like it was, quote, blood money, and I felt like, quote, giving it back, because he had never seen that group of clinicians again. He didn't get the apology. to this day, he didn't know what went on, why the injury happened to him. He was much happier to go through the non-litigation process. So he's an interesting case because he had been through an adversarial process for one injury and then been through a non-litigation process for a different injury, and he much preferred the latter process.
Let's talk about some of the people that you spoke to. There was one person that you interviewed who was actually a lawyer. Tell me about him.
And actually, he was a medical lawyer, just in another twist.
Medico-negligence lawyer.
Yes, yes.
Right, exactly. Right. Okay, what happened to him?
He actually had a sports injury. He'd hurt his shoulder playing baseball. He went into the hospital for what he thought would be just a routine scan. He was sitting on an elevated exam table. He was about to receive a dye injection into his shoulder. The doctor who gave him the injection was just learning, and the injection wasn't done correctly. And the patient, I've called him Thomas, not his real name, but he said the pain was absolutely excruciating. He then started feeling really lightheaded and weak. The clinicians unfortunately walked away from the table. And at that moment, Thomas lost consciousness. He fell face first down to the floor. His teeth went through his bottom lip. He had broken nose. His face was all bruised. And he needed lots and lots of medical work and dental work. His mental health was also impaired for ages. He couldn't work for about a year. So all in all, it was not a good experience. But he was happy with the CRP. Remember, he's a lawyer. And we all know the jokes about lawyers, right? I can say that. I'm one of them. And he wasn't adversarial about it. He could have sued, but he went through the CRP. And he said what really was great from his perspective was that on the same day he was injured, when he was in the emergency room, the young doctor who made the mistake went to him and reached out and just expressed sincere sorrow and said, "How can I help you? What can I do? How are you feeling?" And the patient said that, quote, set the right tone for the rest of the experience. He had to work with the hospital for about a year.
He, again, presumably would have got compensation.
He did.
For his medical expenses and also for loss of ability to work.
That's correct, both, yes. And he said that the people who worked with him to work out what care he needed and also loss of wages, etc., were fantastic because they went to his house, they used the personal touch, they weren't adversarial, they really tried to be helpful and meet his needs.
There was also a mother and a daughter. Tell me about that pair.
A daughter was 14, almost 15, when she experienced the medical injury. When I interviewed her, she was 18, so I interviewed her and also her mother. And the story was that she has lots of allergies, and one day she went into a severe allergic reaction, and unfortunately the hospital gave her an overdose of the medication that she needed, and she actually described going white. Her heart rate skyrocketed. She went into cardiac arrest. Her mother, who happens to be a doctor, was yelling out to the staff, "Pulmonary edema, flash pulmonary edema." In other words, it was a big emergency. And the clinicians did manage to save the daughter, and she did survive. However, obviously, that's a really traumatic experience for both the mother and the daughter, and she has ongoing issues. The interesting thing about that case was because the daughter was only 15 at the time, the hospital was very focused on talking to the parents, particularly the mother. And the daughter really felt like she was excluded from the CRP. She really wanted to talk to the clinicians involved in her care. She wanted them to speak to her directly. She just felt like there was no resolution for her.
So it's very important to talk to the actual victim, even if they're a child, as opposed to their carer or the person responsible for them.
Yes. So what we did in that case was we went back to the hospital, gave them the results of this research, and I explained to the hospital how important it would be for this particular patient to hear from the hospital. And I'm absolutely thrilled to report that the hospital took that on board and actually called the patient directly, and they've spoken to her and talked to her about how she felt, what happened, gave her an apology, and she's absolutely delighted. I've had several emails from her saying how this has just revolutionised her life. Those are her words, not mine. And she's now actually enrolled in medical school.
Did that family get compensation?
They did. They received a small amount of compensation and they didn't sue the hospital, and they also continue to receive care at that hospital, which I actually think is a better way of measuring the success of these programs. It's all very well for people to say to me, oh yes, I was satisfied, but do they actually want to go back to the hospital?
This cohort, you talked about the lawyer, the doctor, very middle class. I mean, is there something about that group that means that CRPs will work perhaps better than for others, that maybe that the hospitals are on notice of who they're dealing with and are treating them with kid gloves?
We did also interview people who are not from affluent backgrounds. Actually, there's an example of that, a patient who is retired, who doesn't have a lot of resources, and she experienced an error at a hospital she'd been going to for her whole life. She was extremely angry. She considered suing them. In the end, she didn't. And at the end of the CRP, she said, we are now, quote, best friends.
How many of them have a lawyer to be an advocate on their behalf in this process?
So the idea is that everyone is meant to be offered the opportunity to have a lawyer, but you don't need one to go through the process. That's the theory. What we found in our research is that the people who had a support person, and the lawyer is the obvious example there, actually felt like the process was better.
Well, somebody who knows what your rights are and what you're entitled to maybe can identify what the system failure has been and where the liability lies. I would have thought that's crucial to have that person in your corner.
It's absolutely crucial. And what we found was that the people who chose not to have a lawyer all said to us, in hindsight, we wish that we had had a lawyer.
Look, there was a very interesting quote in your study where one participant talked about, look, you know, it's all touchy-feely, apologies this, apologies that, you know, I hear what you're been through, blah, blah, blah. But when it came time to turn to compensation, when it came time to talk about money, dollars, quote, the iron fist came out of the velvet glove, end of quote. So these interactions ultimately do come down to dollars and cents, and that's not pretty.
The take-home message there really is that lawyers and hospitals need to remember that this process is not meant to be adversarial, even when you get to the dollars and cents. When you get to the dollars and cents, you still need to take a more communicative tone.
People listening to this might think, well, the hospitals might want to engage in this process because ultimately it saves them money.
Yes, well, the answer, it does. Look, lots of people have critiqued these CRPs on those grounds. They have said hospitals just want to do it because it saves them money, and what's more, it's not fair to patients. So what our research shows is actually that's not correct. We had no patients who said that this process was unfair. Yes, there were patients like the one who we just talked about who said that part of the process was not ideal, but the number of people who were overall horrified or dissatisfied or said that it was a terrible, unfair process is tiny.
Finally, Jennifer Moore, do we have these communication and resolution programs here in Australia?
Well, we have something similar. It's often called open disclosure. So hospitals in Australia, like in the US, are very keen in moving towards these non-litigation approaches.
Mm. And are they growing? Are you trying to do a similar study here in Australia?
Absolutely, Damien. Well, I'm trying to revolutionise the whole system. That's one of the reasons I'm here, Damien. We want to avoid litigation. It's not good for anyone.
Jennifer Moore, Senior Lecturer at UNSW Law School, where she specialises in public health law. She's also a practising barrister in New Zealand.